Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. On one of the hottest days across Europe, I want you to know that I'm quietly dying, and yet I'm going to talk to this absolutely fascinating man because he's going to teach me how to use my brain while I'm really hot. And I'm hoping that it's really effective, because if you can teach anyone how to use his brain, then hot should also work, is my theory. My guest today has seen up and down, and that sounds very, dramatic. But I do think that when you go through life and you wonder what you're going to do, and actually life comes and destroys itself around you, it's usually a lesson from the universe saying, you know what, you're just not doing it in the right way, or you're not in the right path. And the savvy amongst us listen to that and then start to do something different. So I asked Liam, I was like, tell me a little bit about you. And he said, well, I ended up homeless, and then I ended up doing so much better. And I was trying to work out what the difference was between the two. And I realized that the difference was the way in which my brain works. So Liam, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Geeta. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm very grateful. So you actually are going to tell us how to achieve success by using our brain properly. Explain to me what that means.
Well, you know, the funny thing was, you mentioned I'd had my ups and downs in my life, and I really was, for most of my life, a great student of success, because like maybe most people, I really wanted to figure out how could I make the most of my life? How could I be the best that I could be and ultimately be happy and feel in control of my life? So I studied all sorts of different practices, and whether it be personal development, self-help type things, or things to do with changing the way you think, changing the way you use your mind, spiritual practices, meditation, lots of different things. But even though I developed a lot of knowledge and I was very successful on the outside, I had my own businesses and was doing really well, one thing I noticed was I had a lot of stress in my life and a lot of problems. And I was starting to buy into the idea that I was reading about as well, which was, if you want to be successful, if you want to get the most out of life, you have to accept that problems are normal, that you're going to have deal with stress. You are going to have to struggle. You're going to have to overcome enormous challenges and all of these things. And I've subsequently come to realize that none of that is true. But that was what I was starting to believe. And I was continually working harder and really chasing after success, setting bigger goals, trying to do more, trying to learn more, do the next course, do the next seminar, read the next book. You know, I was the one who did all those things.
Yeah.
But it didn't really help me in the long run, because apart from all the stress and problems that I had, in my mid-40s, something happened that should never have happened, and that was I lost everything. I went from being a multimillionaire to literally being homeless, and I had to move back in with my elderly mother and sleep on the couch in her small, in the living room of her small flat. And here I am in my mid-40s, and I was thinking, how could this happen to me? Because I've really made it my life's purpose to try and figure out how to be successful. I know all about the goal setting and the law of attraction and
using
your thoughts, manifesting, all those things. Well, I didn't intend to manifest this. So why is this happening to me? And I also didn't have any idea on how to get out of it. But I did eventually get out of it. And what happened after that was really quite interesting, because I noticed that something very different was happening in my life. Because things were going in quite a different direction, in the sense that instead of chasing success, it was almost like success was coming to me. You know, if you talk about the law of attraction or manifesting, things were actually working in quite a different way. And opportunities were coming to me to set up new businesses and do things that I really enjoyed doing, both personally and in the business sense. And I was starting to earn good money again. I was starting to mix with really good people. But one of the best things that I noticed was I didn't have the problems and stress. And I remember thinking, you know, this is amazing. I actually wake up in the morning looking forward to the day rather than dreading opening my email, which is what
it
had been
before.
Waiting
for the bad news, yeah.
Yeah, or going to bed at night thinking, oh, I've got all these problems to deal with and not being able to sleep properly. I used to love going to sleep and think, I've had a great day and I wonder what tomorrow is going to bring. So I thought, I want to figure out the difference because I had all of this knowledge on all of these different things. And I thought, I'm really missing something. There's something that I need to figure out what I'm doing, because I wanted to figure out what I was doing to make sure I kept doing it. You know, I didn't want the results to go back to the way they'd been. So what I realized was that I'd overlooked something really quite basic that I think most of us overlook. And that is, in this answering this question, who are we and what is life and what is our life all about? We often overlook the fact that we have a biological component. We're actually part of a biological world. We live in a physical body and we're surrounded by other living physical things. And I thought, well, this is really interesting. I've never really looked at it from that point of view, but it does make sense that because we are biological, there must be some purpose to why we're here biologically. And not only that, there must be some way that it all works biologically. So maybe I should look into that. And what I discovered is that we have a purpose biologically that is in common with all natural life. Every species on the planet has one purpose biologically. And if you ask any biological scientist, he'll tell you this is true.
Yeah.
The purpose we have biologically is to survive and thrive. And in other words, to always be striving to survive and be the best that we can be. Mm-hmm. Because by being the best that we can be, we actually have the greatest chance of survival.
Right.
So in a very real sense, we are biologically wired or programmed, if you like, to seek to be the best that we can be so that we have the greatest chance of survival. And as I say, that's the same with every creature on the planet, if you like, every living thing. And then I thought, well, that's fine. But what has nature provided? Is there some mechanism or system or machine or apparatus that nature's provided that it gives every creature the ability to be the best that it can be? In other words, that supports it to survive and thrive. And it turns out there is. Every living thing has a machine or a mechanism designed to ensure that it survives and thrives and be the best that can be, and that's a brain. And like with every other part of nature, our brain, that's its sole purpose, is to make sure we survive and be the best that we can be so that we have the greatest chance for survival.
So hold on. Let's put a pin in that for a moment. Hmm. To me, survive and thrive are two different things.
They are indeed.
Because the surviving, yes, I'm 100% familiar with it. I work in the health business. I work using cortisol, adrenaline, people's stress responses. And I can give you down to pretty much the coolest hormonal pathway, how we our brain teaches us to survive, right? Because it's wired to keep us not just surviving, but to get your heart being the very last thing that almost shuts down. So I really understand that. But you're saying that in fact, and correct me where I'm wrong, you're saying that in fact, the brain is also set up to help us to completely thrive and live our best life, which somehow implies that we need to get the heck out the way of our brain so that it could do what it's primed to do.
Yep, absolutely.
So we've been putting a shit ton of problems in the way of our brain in that case.
We have. And what are problems?
That's awful. Okay, tell me more.
Okay. What are problems? You look at, if you accept that your brain is a machine that is biologically designed to try to ensure that you be the best that you can be so that you have the greatest chance for survival. If that's its purpose, then despite all its complexity, that's the job it's designed to do. Then you have to say, well, why isn't it doing that? Why do I have problems in my life? And the only logical answer you can come to is by looking at any machine. It's a bit like a motor car, which is another machine. Now, we know what a motor car is designed to do. It has a very specific job, which is to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And it will do that efficiently, predictably.
As long as you
enjoyably.
Keep it running. Yeah.
Well, as long as you know how to drive it, as long as you use it the right way, you're putting the right fuel in and you're driving it the right way. You know it will do that. That's what it's designed to do. But what happens if you don't drive it the wrong way? What happens if you use the wrong fuel? You get problems. it's not doing the job it was designed to do. So in a very real sense, you know, the funny thing is humans, we're the only species in nature that has problems, really. I was reading recently, one researcher was describing it, and he says nature has 98% success rate, only has a 2% failure rate. And if you look at anything in nature, you see that's true. Everything is in its place, it's surviving, it's doing well, yeah. It finds the food it needs. It's not out there fighting, being stressed and having problems.
Well, no, because a tree never has to think if it has seeds, are they going to grow into a tree again or acorns? It just does, right?
Exactly. So its intelligence is wired to ensure that it's the best that it can be. It's automatically doing that for it, the intelligence that it has, whether it's a tree or a plant or an animal or whatever it is. And there's a 2% failure rate because maybe the tree happens to be planted in the wrong place and it falls over, or you know, a storm comes along and washes it away or whatever. But nature itself operates in a very successful environment. But humans...
So I'm just going to... Give me one second. We're going to go for a break because I don't want you to explain to me this yet, because as soon as we come back from the break, you're going to explain to me what it is that we do, which sounds like we're just being thick, actually, because if we're naturally programmed. So we're going to go on a break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. That went on a bit longer than I thought I was going to have that section, just because my brain was still trying to grasp what you were saying, because it was probably doing a can-can cheering thing inside my brain going, yay, we're finally listening to this. What is it that we do to prevent that then?
That we use our brain the wrong way, you mean? How do we use our brain the wrong way?
Why are we having problems?
Because we haven't been taught how to use our brain the right way. Well, in fact, we actually have been, but we haven't taken any notice about what it means, because all of religion, all religious and spiritual traditions teach us how to use our brain the right way. But because of our programming, upbringing, environment, you know, all the conditioning that we've been subjected to, we've never interpreted it the right way. And that's the simple answer. So if you want to get the right results in your life that you're supposed to get, that you're biologically programmed to get, which is to be the best that you can be, to express what's in your DNA, which is that program of that blueprint of who you are,
your brain is there to almost.
Your brain, but this is biological I'm really talking about. Your brain is programmed to express your DNA in the best way possible and to do whatever it needs to do to make sure that happens. You just need to know how to use the machine of your brain the right way. And what I've actually created is an explanation of how the brain works in quite a simple way rather than a technical way, because like with a car, you don't need to know the technical name of every wire and every little bit and piece. But if you have an understanding of how to drive it, then you're going to get the results that you need to. Because as you explained at the beginning, we're naturally supposed to do this. So we're doing something quite wrong to do it unnaturally. And it's because of what we've been programmed to believe is the way we should use our brain, which is quite simply not right.
Okay, so what do we do?
It can't be right. Can I give you the short answer, which is just a quick explanation of how the model of the brain works that I sort of use as an explanation? And I think you and your listeners will quickly see what we're doing wrong. Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I reserve the right to ask questions, but absolutely.
Okay, so essentially I've broken down the complex functioning of the brain into really four parts. So you have four parts to your brain. And the first part is what I call the thinking brain. And the purpose of your thinking brain, you know, this has other words like neocortex and all that sort of stuff, but it's a physical part of your brain that is designed to collect the information that you gather in every moment of your life.
Yeah.
So everything you take in from your five senses, what you hear, see, smell, taste, touch, your thoughts, your ideas, they're stored in your thinking brain. It's like a library or a database of all of your knowledge and experience that you personally have gathered. So that's your thinking brain. The second part is your emotional brain, your feeling brain. And this is obviously the part that is responsible for generating your feelings, how you feel from moment to moment, which can be from one extreme, loving, grateful, all of those wonderful things, excited, you know, to depressed, unhappy, and afraid. That's the thinking brain. The third part of the brain is the survival brain. This is actually at the back of the head. And this manages and looks after everything to do with your moment by moment survival. And obviously that includes all of the automatic functions in your body, like you mentioned, your heartbeat and, you know, all of your organs and all of the bodily processes. But there's one other really important function that the survival brain carries out, and that is to deal with an immediate threat or danger to your survival. So something that might immediately hurt you or even kill you. And the famous story, of course, is from, you know, the classic example is in prehistoric times, you're walking in the forest and the lion runs out and jumps from behind a rock. So what happens in the brain at that moment? It's actually the emotional brain that decides that that's a threat or a danger. And it sends chemicals to your body to say you are faced with an immediate danger, and it makes you feel afraid. And when you feel afraid, that's a signal, from your emotional brain that you're facing an immediate threat. And that activates something called the sympathetic nervous system, which activates what we might call the fight, flight, freeze mechanism, which is designed to get you to react and immediately deal with that threat or danger that's to your survival.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's there for, and really useful, maybe not so useful anymore these days, because we don't have lions around every rock in our life. We have very little that's an immediate threat to our
well we do survival. Have social media. I think it just isn't quite doesn't look like a lion, but it's very similar.
But is it an immediate threat to our survival? Is it something that's likely to kill us right here and right now? Okay, so anyway, that's the survival brain. Now the fourth part of the brain is what I call the creative brain, and science has more recently started to uncover that this is a separate area of functioning within
the brain.
What
did you call it?
Creative brain.
Okay, I'm making notes.
Right, okay. So this is where, this isn't where you're from your thoughts or your feelings. This is where you get creativity from, new ideas. It's where you get inspiration. It's where you get motivation from. It's where you get those aha moments of, oh, that's a good idea. Why don't I do that? And it's also where you get your intuition that maybe that's not the right thing to do, or maybe that is the right thing to do. So it's where you make, and people talk about this area being in the zone, in the flow, when they experience this particular state of being in their creative state. You know, composers of music talk about how they just heard music and they wrote it down. So this is all from this creative part of your brain. And the other thing that this part of your brain does that we thing from a limited sense of awareness, we talk about luck, coincidence, synchronicity. We go, well, how did that happen? And we think it is all just something random, powerful. It actually has the ability not just to manage our internal environment, but our external environment as well. So a lot of these things, all chance events, are managed by our creative brain. And here's the thing: the way we're supposed to live, the way you are, the chance of survival, is by living in creative state. It's using feeling good. It's when you're making the right decisions, things are flowing. And
so the part of the brain, there's the fourth part of the brain. What's that
yes.
then? Because well, we've talked part, about thinking, the emotional side, the survival brain.
The fourth part of your brain, and science has only more recently discovered that this is a separate area. You might have heard of the pineal gland.
Yep.
There's a couple of other places where the creative brain activity is primarily taking place. But this is what I call, as I just said, the creative brain. And the creative brain is actually the part that's supposed to drive your life, because what the creative brain does, this is the part that manages your creativity. This is where you get all those good ideas from about what to do, where you make the right decisions and where you don't make the wrong decisions, where you get intuition, where you get an awareness. You know, sometimes you get a big picture idea where you go, oh, I can think of a much better way to do that or to solve that problem. Artists and musicians talk about this place where they hear the music and they just wrote it down. They don't know where it came from. It just came from somewhere else. Writers, the same thing. I've written a lot of books, you know, and I write. Sometimes I read my books and I go, did I write that? I don't remember how I did it. I don't know where it came from. So this is really the part that's supposed to drive your life, because this is where all of the good stuff happens. This is where you're in control of your life from. You're making the right decisions. You're taking the right actions. The right things are happening. And, you know, the other thing I mentioned earlier, it changes your awareness. So this is where you have the greatest awareness and the big picture view of life. And it's very true, because when you're in this state, when you're using your creative brain, what you see about your life and about your world is the truth that you don't see when you're not in this state. So you can see the big picture about who you are. And one of the things you realize in this state is that everything that we call luck, coincidence, synchronicity, chance events are not actually luck and chance events at all. This is all managed by your brain, because your brain, which is 500 trillion times more powerful than a microcomputer microprocessor, it has the ability and the purpose to manage your life, to make you the best that you can be so that you have the greatest chance for your survival. So that doesn't just mean managing you internally, but it also means managing your external environment. So the way you're supposed to live biologically successful is you're supposed to activate and use this part of your brain pretty well all of the time, because this is when your brain's doing its job to make sure that you're being the best that you can be. But there's only one time when this part of your brain is not supposed to be used, and in fact isn't even helpful. In fact, it can be damaging or harmful to use it, and that is when the lion comes running at you from behind the rock, because none of that is useful. Being creative, resourceful, imaginative, grateful for your life, being in the flow, that's not going to help you when a lion's about to eat you. So what the brain actually does in that situation is it switches. I mentioned before your survival brain activates your sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. And what happens then is it takes all of the energy from unnecessary for survival or repelling a threat purposes, all of the energy from things in your body that aren't useful to that, it draws all that energy and directs it towards eliminating that danger. So you need all of the energy you have to fight back or to shout or run away or whatever you need to do to get rid of that immediate danger. So your brain draws all that energy into that survival part of your brain. And here's the thing. It shuts down, as I said, your creative brain to a large degree, because that's not helpful. It's not useful. And it needs that energy that part of your brain is consuming to get rid of this immediate threat. So the way you're supposed to live is your emotional brain recognizes that you have an immediate threat to survival. It makes you feel afraid. It activates your sympathetic nervous system, shuts down your creative brain, your natural creative state where you're supposed to live, gets rid of that danger. And then when your emotional brain says, right, everything's clear, go back to normal, you go back to being in the flow, in the zone, being the best that you can be, living your purpose biologically.
So let's just take another quick break. And then when we come back, I want you to explain to me how you are supposed to apply that to be successful. Because for a lot of us, you end up in that stress, fight and flight response permanently. So that must mean that you have a way of bringing people back out of fear and flight, right? So we'll be back in a second.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. So how do you make it work?
Well, the first thing you need to realize is that the enemy, your enemy in life, is fear. Fear is the only enemy that you have, because when you feel fear, what's happening is your brain is interpreting your environment and saying there's an immediate threat to your survival. And it's shutting down the creative part of your brain, which is where all of your ability to solve problems, do the right thing, attract the right people, come up with the right ideas, see the truth about your life, you're blocking off all those abilities. So when you realize that fear is the enemy. And it doesn't matter how justified you feel that you feel afraid or whatever. It's a bit like someone comes along and says, drink this glass of hydrochloric acid and I'll give you $1 million. And you say, look, hang on a second, you must be a bit new. You don't realize that if I drink that, it's poison. It's going to damage me.
I will be very dead and can do nothing with that million.
At the very least. And if they say, no, well, I'll give you 10 million and don't worry. If you're really motivated and you believe and you pray perhaps, and everybody else is willing to take it anyway, so you should as well, you'll be okay. It won't damage you that much. You would say, look, you must be insane. You don't realize. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. That's toxin to my body. And it has a very specific biological effect. It's going to damage me. And right. It's the same with fear. So the first thing, when you realize that fear, I mean, obviously we need fear when the lion's going to eat us. That's its purpose. But all of the other times we feel fear, it's blocking us from our ability to live life being the best that we can be. And when you realize that, through understanding how that works, you realize that fear is the enemy. And it's funny, I mentioned that spiritual traditions and religions have all taught this, have given us an instruction manual on how to use our brain. What does it say in the Bible? It says more than 360 times, be not afraid, have no fear, believe, have faith, trust. Now, it doesn't say have no fear, because it doesn't say please try not to be so afraid, or don't worry so much, or, it'd be a good idea not to feel so afraid so often, or really work on your fears. It doesn't say any of that, because that's not how your brain works. It's like, do not be afraid. And what is it? And it says, be not anxious about tomorrow. You do not worry about what you shall eat, drink, or wear. You know, that quote from Matthew in the Bible. It's not saying that again. This isn't a good idea. This is an instruction on how to live. This is because this is how your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
So the first important thing is to realize that fear is the enemy, and to say, well, what am I doing that's making me feel afraid? And I've got to stop doing it as much as I can. And, you know, sometimes that involves some difficult decisions. I've got to stop talking to that person who makes me feel bad. I've got to get rid of that employee who makes me feel bad or isn't working for the business that's creating all the stress. And on a gut level, we know a lot of these things that we should do, but we're too afraid to do it. You know, it's like I do a lot of marriage and relationship coaching, and I work with people who are in the wrong relationship sometimes. And they've been struggling for 30 years, and all of their friends and everyone's telling them, you're in the wrong relationship. It's bad for you. It's toxic. But they can't see it. They're still going to struggle. And they say things like, oh, no, I'll make it work. And, well, you know, I'm going to get my husband to go to counseling. And I don't want to give up. Because it's all based on fear. So they can't, sometimes you have to make a tough decision to get rid of a fear, to see the right thing to do and to do it. And it might be turning off all that news that we're supposed to stay informed about.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if that makes you feel, whatever it is, if it makes you feel bad, and I'm not just talking about fear, obviously worry, stress, anxiety, these all have as their underlying cause fear. Anything that makes you feel bad, you've got to realize it's putting you in this disempowered state that's only designed to react to an immediate threat. You are blocking your access to your true spiritual creativity. That is where all your success lies, where all your fulfillment lies. So that's the most important thing.
But and fear that's a big is not project. Easy to get rid of.
Are you stating that or asking me?
I think I am stating that. I think that fear is difficult. Fear is not easy to get rid of. And if it was as simple as get rid of your fear, surely we would find it easier to get rid of our fear. Because fear is so cultural sometimes. It's gender-based. It's things that you can't quite grasp because they were inculcated in you as a child.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That we are brainwashed to be afraid.
Yeah, 100%.
But when we realize how the system works, then we can have an opportunity to change it within ourselves. And the first step is to say, what is it that's making me feel bad, feel afraid? What's the hydrochloric acid that I'm putting into my life? So, and we have a choice over those things. Some, as I say, sometimes they're tough choices. But once you start to do this, and once you start to trust rather than be afraid, which again is what religion and spiritual traditions tell us, trust
what
ourselves.
What are we trusting? Trusting ourselves.
We're trusting our true self. That we're trusting our the creative part of our brain that has access to infinite intelligence that is there to design to make us the best that we can be. It's like a car. You don't get into a car and worry every and get out every 5 seconds worrying if it's going to get you to where it's going to go. You know how it works, and you're driving it the right way, so you just relax and enjoy the ride. Because it
sounds like you're saying that you have to have faith.
Well, what is faith? Faith comes from understanding. When you know how something, you don't even need faith. You just need to know how something works. Do you have faith that your car is going to get you to where you want to go? No, you just know it does. That's how it works.
So, okay,
you know it.
So hang on. We're saying, you are saying, that you've got to give up fear so that your brain can function at its optimum. In order to give up fear, for your brain to function at its optimum, you want to find out the things that you're afraid of and either stop doing them or remove them. And that once you've done that, your brain will start working well again. So for you, what happened is that having been homeless and having had sort of almost the worst happen to you, you were like, well, actually the worst's already happened.
That's
and
exactly
so now
right.
I may as well just carry on and be who I am and do what I'm doing, because that is what it is.
That's exactly right. So there are really three steps. First, understand how the machine works so that you know that fear is the enemy. Secondly, do whatever you can to stop putting in the wrong fuel, which is fear, which is going to stop it working properly. And the third thing is what you allude to, which is what happened to me, is you've got to get your brain to see the difference between something that really could harm you and therefore it should be afraid of, and something that isn't going to harm you here and now in this moment and therefore it shouldn't be afraid of. And what I realize through my lifetime of struggle and always wanting more success and writing down my goals and trying and, you know, doing all these things and making lots of bad decisions along the way, having successes, but lots of failures and lots of stress and problems. What I realized, I'd been driven by underlying fear through that the whole of my life.
Yep, the fear not of enough won't do not, it right.
Well, the real two driving fears I have, and one of the things I teach is helping people how to uncover what they're actually afraid of, because you need to know that to make a start on this. But I was afraid of, firstly, not having anything, and secondly, not being loved. Now, I didn't realize that was what was driving my life, but when I actually ended up, what happened when I was homeless? I ended up with nothing, and I ended up nobody loving me, apart from my mother.
Which is a good thing. Good we kept her.
For sure. So what actually happened on a biological level is my brain, which had been had associated immediate threat and danger with those fears
created
or those
them.
Things, once it experienced those things, it said to itself, if you like, well, actually, you're still alive. You're still okay. This wasn't a threat. Not having enough is not a threat to your survival. Not being loved is not a threat to your survival. So my brain could actually release those fears by realizing they were nothing to be afraid of in the first place. And then I could start, and I didn't really realize at this time, this is what I've been figuring out ever since, is I could allow my creative brain to do its job. And that's when better people showed up, because I was like, well, I'm no longer afraid. I'm no longer living in fear. It's, whatever happens is fine. I'm going to be okay, apart from if a lion comes out and jumps at me. So a very important part of the process, which is, if you like, the third step, once you're aware of how your brain works and that fear is the problem, and you're doing your best not to put more fear in, allow things into you that make you afraid, is to get your brain to separate, to see the difference, to start working on seeing the difference between a real fear and an imaginary one. And that's when you can start to live without fear, because the truth is, biologically, we're only born with two things that naturally we're afraid of. One is loud noises, and the other is falling. Science has done lots of study on this. Every other fear that we have is something we've picked up along the way in our life. And they're not real fears. They're perspective fears. Because you can have two people, the same thing happens to. One will be terrified, stressed, and thinking of it as a real problem. And the other person will think, hey, no big deal. This is an opportunity. What can I learn from this? It's not a problem. And not be afraid of it. You know, and I can look back on me being homeless. If people say, well, I'd be terrified to be homeless. Now it wouldn't bother me. Actually, I haven't lived in a house or in one place for more than a decade. I'm not interested in, I'm happy to be homeless, if you like. So it's all about perspective. And even the things that happen to us, and we can say, oh, this is terrible, this is happening to me. That's all a question of perspective as well, because you can look at anybody else, somewhere else in the world, there'll be someone with what you think is a problem, who'll be seeing that same, who'll be in that same situation and will see it differently. And sometimes people might think, oh, this is a bit heartless and he's uncaring and all that. Quite the opposite, because this is how we work, and this is how you become empowered to truly take control of your life and really start living as being the best that you can be, which is what we're all here to do. We're not, you know, we're supposed to be 98% successful like the rest of nature rather than 2%.
That sounds phenomenal. I mean, I've made notes and I've learned things, and thank you very much. I've written down fear is the enemy. But I like the fact that everything else is perspective. It's really interesting. How can people find you?
Well, if they'd like to find out more, which I hope they will, everything's on my website, which is just my name, liamnaden.com.
Do you want to spell that, Liam?
LIAMNADEN.
It'll be there anyway, but it's a good idea to spell it just in case somebody's only listening and doesn't have it. That was fantastic. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much for explaining that. I'm going to sit around and ponder that for about the next, I don't know how long. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor and a pleasure being here too. Thank you.
My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself. And I hope, actually, having now heard what your brain can do for you and should be doing for you and was born to do for you, you are going to go off and activate yourself using your brain, because it is, as Liam has so clearly pointed out, it's when the stuff doesn't work that you can then think, okay, what's left? And how is that going to work? Because usually it's your worst fears that we're so busy creating for ourselves, aren't we? I look forward to joining you again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.